for the past greater than a decade now, I've been advocating that people embrace self-sufficiency in an incremental manner so that as they go on and embrace the discipline of providing for themselves, educating for themselves, and not having to be dependent on other people for their healthcare needs, for their security needs, for their food supply. It's part of a well-rounded and integrated system that yields freedom at the end of the day for people. If an individual is dependent upon any part of a greater system, he's therefore consequently a slave to it. So if we want to foster freedom and a mentality of independence and of self-governance, it starts with decreasing our dependency, whether it's in supplies or in services.
Welcome to the Health Ranger Report here on Brighteon.tv. Well, it's near the end of December 2021. Somehow we've all made it this far. We'll see what happens from here forward. But today our guest is the Patriot Nurse, who has been on with us before. She's got a very important message about preparedness for 2022. And also, what are we going to do about all this medical tyranny that's coming down on us and this crazy lunatic Fauci ordering people to obey, obey, obey? Are we going to win this war against medical tyranny and the vaccine pushers or pimps? Or are we going to lose this war and end up in a medical totalitarian society where we have no freedoms, no rights, not even a right to travel without being injected with these experimental cocktails of death jabs? Well, we'll get to all that and much more here with the Patriot Nurse. You're watching Brighteon.tv here with Mike Adams. Stay with us. We'll be right back after this break with that show and more. All right, welcome back, folks. Health Ranger Report here, Brighteon.tv. The Patriot Nurse joins us today. Welcome, Patriot Nurse. It's great to have you back on.
Thank you so much. It's a pleasure to be here.
Absolutely. Should I just continue to call you the Patriot Nurse, or do you have another nickname you go by?
You can call me Patriot Nurse. That works just fine.
Okay. All right. Patriot Nurse. It's funny because I have, well, no, that I don't mean to be inappropriate or anything. It's just, I guess if I were going to call you something, it would just be Patriot or Patty for short.
Well, you know what's funny? That the reason why I got that name, it goes back to an open carry rally that I attended at Gravelly Point. I want to say it was in maybe 2009, something like this. And at particularly this event, there were more press than actual participants. And the reason why my name came out as a result of this was I was being interviewed by a gentleman from Ireland, I believe it was. It was the Irish television network. And so he thought he was going to play gotcha with me because I've got my nursing scrubs on and this big, ginormous black gun, which in their mind was, whoa, it's a shotgun, but all big and scary, right?
Yeah.
So he thinks he's going to play gotcha with me. And like, do you find that it's odd that you're a nurse and you carry a gun and put it in my face? And I'm going back here. I'm not giving him satisfaction. So he's got a zinger, right, stored up at the end. He goes, so if I meet you in a dark alleyway, should I be afraid? And I looked at him. I said, no, I'll protect you. And so at this point, I mean, he was definitely not satisfied with that answer. They're rather deflated. So he thinks he's going to get, you know, my name involved in everything. It's like, so what should I call you for the report? And I said, you can call me Patriot Nurse. And that's where it came from.
Really? That's just spontaneous.
I think I had played around with the idea of it in a few months beforehand, but that's where I officially just, there it was.
Well, I love it. Yeah, it's a great name, and it really describes what you do. And just for those who maybe haven't seen your previous interview, give us a little bit of a background about your classes and what you do, what your philosophy is.
Absolutely. So my background is obviously in nursing, and I have various different specialties that I've worked in my life. Everything from med-surg to home health as an aspect of labor and delivery in an out-of-hospital setting, emergency trauma. So in addition to that, inpatient psychiatric, I've also done short-term medical work in developing countries. And so that's given me a rather rounded perspective, I think, when it comes to the world and the role of health and of medicine in it. And so as far as preparedness, for the past greater than a decade now, I've been advocating that people embrace self-sufficiency in an incremental manner so that as they go on and embrace the discipline of providing for themselves, educating for themselves, and not having to be dependent on other people for their healthcare needs, for their security needs, for their food supply, it's part of a well-rounded and integrated system that yields freedom at the end of the day for people. If an individual is dependent upon any part of a greater system, he's therefore consequently a slave to it. So if we want to foster freedom and a mentality of independence and of self-governance, it starts with decreasing our dependency, whether it's in supplies or in services. So that's really what I've tried to do. And I teach classes all over the country. I also have online coursework as well for people who can't get out to my live training events. So I actually just released my 2020 schedule for the first half of 2020. And I plan as long as the
2022
to do that. 2022. That's right. As long as he wills it, then that's what I'll be doing.
Okay. All right. Great. I want to ask you about your classes, what's coming up later, and exactly what you teach in those classes. But let's talk about the Fauci insanity at the moment, because recently Fauci has been saying that he supports everybody being forced to be vaccinated before they're allowed to travel by air. And of course, we know that the vaccines do not work to stop the spread of COVID, any strain. We've seen this huge study, 68 countries and almost 3,000 counties in the United States showing no correlation whatsoever between vaccination rates and any reduction in the spread of COVID. No correlation. So vaccines don't work for that. So and we already see other health experts saying the masks are useless as well. Why would Fauci say that we have to have vaccines to travel on domestic air?
In my humble and highly accurate opinion, I think the man has a lot of psychological pathology that walks out in manipulating people and getting control over people as an ego fix. People in government are like this. And when we have that realization that people in power usually are not there because they're beneficent, they're there because they are manipulative and they enjoy power, that fundamentally transforms the way that we should be screening any advice from people who are in positions of government, particularly unelected appointed ones like Fauci. And so, in my opinion, whether or not he is self-deluded, whether or not he is well-meaning, or whether or not he truly believes all of the praise he got from a child into his professional career, how smart he was and how excellent he was compared to his cohort, regardless of what his motives are, he is not a friend of freedom. And this is an issue that the medical community is constantly grappling with. Do we really believe that we have superior knowledge and that our superior knowledge is of a sort that justifies stealing freedom and tyrannizing our fellow man? Are we philosopher kings, the new 21st century form of a tyrant? Is that us? Is that what we're gonna be in the future?
Well, and
just happen to have the garb of medical stuff? I don't know, but we're gonna answer these questions.
I would add to that with Fauci, there's a level of cruelty in there, because he ran experiments on black children in New York. And Robert F. Kennedy Jr. has covered this extensively in his book, The Real Anthony Fauci. But Fauci ran these deadly experiments, injecting these children with drugs that were supposed to treat AIDS in pregnant women somehow, and killed many of these minority children. They were Latinos and they were black children. And there are mass graves that have been uncovered since then. Fauci is a murderer of children. And he doesn't think there's anything wrong with that. And apparently the entire medical institution around him thinks that that's completely okay as well, as long as the drug companies keep getting rich. So we're beyond, you know, maybe a Napoleon complex or something that he's got, his quest for power. He's into torturing and killing children.
I do know that people who thrive upon power have no problems justifying the loss of innocence and couch it in the greater good. That is the oldest communist play in the book. And so regardless of what a person is labeling themselves as, I look at their actions and I look at the fruit. By their fruits, you will know them. I look at the fruit and the fruit and the chaos that has been in his path that he has created over the past nigh on 2 years of being an unelected appointed power. That speaks for itself. It's, I know better than you. I will tell you what to do. There is nothing that you can tell me from a megalomaniac standpoint. There's nothing that you can tell me to placate my lust for power. I say it, therefore it is. The man is a tyrant. He would fit right in there with King George. We fought revolutions over less than this.
Yeah, well, some say he would fit right in with Joseph Mengele. I mean, that's been stated even on Fox News as well by Laura Logan in that case, and I think she's exactly correct. But what do you think Fauci has in store for us in 2022? I mean, as long as people keep obeying, where is he going to take us?
I hearken back to the rules from the playground in intermediate school. A bully is going to push you in so far as you let him. He'll push you against the wall and he'll get you cornered until he gets hit in the face. And so a person who is used to taking, who is used to dictating, who is used to writing the rules, they're going to continue what they've learned works for them until they're met with consequences. I heard it said, actually, I think it was Richard Grannon who said this, that consequences are the barbs in the fence of boundaries. And so we have, through poor boundaries and through low self-image en masse, allowed somebody to bully us and take away our freedoms and tell us how to live every moment of the day because we have not asserted our boundaries. And until there are consequences in our fences of boundaries, they're going to continue pushing it.
Well, then, extending that, how pathetic are the masses who are allowing their power to be taken by this tyrant? You know, the average person, not the people watching you and me, but the typical oblivious consumer goes into the doctor's office and says, hey, doctor, cure me, treat me. You're responsible for my health. Give me a pill, give me a procedure, whatever. They take no responsibility for their own health whatsoever. So to them, they are subjugating themselves to people like Fauci by being obedience worshipers. You know, how crazy is that?
I would agree with that. I also think that there has been a fundamental shift in the role of healthcare provider and patient. And I think that there's a couple of things going on. A lack of empathy in the past two generations, for sure, of healthcare providers, but also the shifting family structure in the United States and the absence, particularly of a father figure and a boundary enforcer, that creates generations of people who are desperately searching for a father figure or for a boundary enforcer. And if they don't generate their own solid boundaries through a proper self-image, they will seek to outsource that with whatever strong man comes across their path. And so in the medical industrial complex, we have been historically the caretakers of a great burden and a responsibility to advocate for our patients and to give them solid information with which to make informed consented decisions. But now it's turned into, I know better than you. And because people lack appropriate boundaries to say, you know what, you don't know better than me. I know what's best for me. That's part of this equation. But the past two generations, and I've seen this in professional practice, the past two generations, whether it's because they were grown up on a screen or they just inherently didn't develop social skills corresponding with empathy, the past two generations are used to, instead of it being a partnership, it is a power structure wherein I have the letters after my name, I have the white coat, I have the scrubs and the stethoscope, and I'm going to tell you what to do, and you better be grateful and thank me for it.
You know, you're exactly
being egalitarian and then became totalitarian.
This is a really great observation you've made, or an important one, because this has made its way through many other sectors of society. And you're right. The relationship, which was once a partnership, has become an authoritarian relationship. But we see it in medicine, as you just mentioned, but we see it in education, where now we have the school administrators saying, oh, parents have no right to be involved in their children's education. Well, how crazy is that? You must obey the school curriculum. Same thing with big tech and speech. You're not allowed to speak unless we approve your speech in advance. and not just in the practice of medicine, but in medical research. So you're not allowed to have a different opinion about medicine. You're not allowed to even cite these other studies that we don't like. Even if they're peer-reviewed, published in science journals, you can't cite those studies. Twitter is banning the New England Journal of Medicine and the American Heart Association journals on selected studies. What do you think about that?
I myself have been the recipient of yet another strike from YouTube for doing exactly what the other social media accounts have been trying to shield against, which is to voice a contrarian idea, to voice advocacy for body autonomy and freedom. And if you look, actually, for those of you viewers who are still regularly involved in YouTube, their most recent content creator guidelines are so far-reaching in their prohibitions that they functionally created a narrow walking space. There's so many things that you can't say that it's not even a list of you've got wide freedom, but just stay away from here. Now it's there's so much don't that there's very little do. So when they say that, for instance, you're not permitted to say anything other than vaccines are safe and effective, all of them always, and that side effects are so blessedly rare that they're not even worth mentioning. Unless you say that, they deem you a purveyor of medical misinformation. So I challenge them in the backside of this from the content creators community guidelines area. I challenge them. I said, which one of your reviewers of content has a standing medical degree and a functioning license? Which one of your people are capable of making these decisions on what is medical misinformation, what is solid? They don't have an answer for that. It's not about what's right. It's not about what's moral and ethical. It is about what is politically expedient for them. And because they have coalesced into a tangle of the Politburo and all of its little tentacles in social media, they have narrowed down what we are permitted to say on their platforms so that essentially you walk lockstep with Politburo or you don't speak at all.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And we're now seeing these kinds of policies translated into the 3D world. New York City sending out vaccine coercion teams door to door, willing to come to you and even pay you $100 for every family member, even children, to get vaccinated in your home. Well, so now the door-to-door campaigns have begun. They say it's voluntary. How long before that becomes involuntary?
As long as people permit it, and as long as there cease to be consequences for unethical behavior.
So do you think we're going to see this in 2022 in America, in certain blue cities? They're going to just force people door-to-door?
Well, let us clarify a point here about force. Unless someone is holding you down and you are engaged in a fight with them, there's no force. There are coercion, there's coercion and there's threats. But the second that a person rolls up their sleeve and says, okay, that's not force. That's giving into coercion. That's being weak and that's being cowardly. Let's come right down to it. And people get all offended if you say, oh, that's not cowardly. I have X, Y, or Z needs to make. No, every situation like that is a value decision. You are making a value choice about whether you value freedom or you value ease. And so when people come door to door and say, oh, we have this incentive to get you, have a nice day, shut the door. I don't have to be nice to you if you are basically, if you are bringing forward kid-gloved, velvet-gloved, unethical behavior. I don't have to be nice to you. I've seen this story. I didn't like how it ended. I don't have to sit through it again. So again, it's an issue of boundary. What type of answer to this question are we going to give? A freedom one or an ease and slavery one? So then you bring up another important issue about like blue cities. These issues that we are seeing, even though they seem new, with the vaccine and with health freedoms and body autonomy, this is just the newest iteration of the age-old question that our founding fathers grappled with even at the time of the Constitutional Convention, the Anti-Federalists and the Federalists. The Anti-Federalists, who get written out of most of the history recountings, the Anti-Federalists, like Patrick Henry, Thomas Jefferson, these men recognized that power inherently coalesces in cities and in central governments, which is why they were such ardent advocates for distribution of power, balance of power, and a federal system that weights the smaller municipalities, governments, elected governments against larger central governments. Every time that we give more authority to centralized government, we lose freedom exponentially, not even linearly, exponentially. So to your point, in 2022, in cities whose constituency either permits election fraud and corruption, or who willingly and lawfully elects tyrants to power, they are going to see their freedoms trampled upon even more. So we get the government we deserve, whether we tolerate election fraud or we lawfully ensconce these people into power, we do get the government that we deserve, which is why so many people are fleeing these cesspools of liberalism and coming into places that are more freedom-minded. The question is, are they going to leave the habits that have not served them at the border? So we're going to see, I think, a lot of movement of states' rights and the assertion of states' powers against and in stark contrast and contradistinction of that of the federal government. So, and all of their little tentacles of power.
It's interesting that you say that, because you're right. There is mass migration taking place in America. Hundreds of thousands of people a year are leaving California, New York, and other states, and they're going to states like Florida and Texas. Those are the top two that are receiving people. At the same time, Joe Biden has said recently there is not a federal solution to COVID. And he has said it's only going to happen based on the actions of governors. And this is actually a surprise maneuver, because, you know, he pushed out the vaccine mandate, the OSHA mandate that's about to be argued before the Supreme Court coming up in about a week or so. And now to see him back away from federal tyranny, or at least to state that he is, what do you think's going through his mind on this? I mean, he's not throwing in the towel. What is this, some kind of a psych game?
Mm-mm. They're pivoting towards preparation for midterm elections, particularly for states that have been the most draconian. And so they know that they're going to get their rear ends handed to them in Congress. I'd be very surprised if they maintain control of the House. But you never know. I can't put anything past people anymore, but that's where there is nothing benevolent and there is no epiphany that has happened in Joe's mind. I don't know how much traffic his brainwaves are actually getting back and forth each day, bless his heart. But I can safely say that there has been no awakening of the balance of power in his mind. It is entirely about pivoting the political machine of the Democrat Party into local and state elections for the midterms.
Yeah, that's a really good point, and I think you're right. Between Joe Biden's ears, I think he's running on a dial-up modem still at this point, and a really old, slow one as well, like 1200 baud or something. That's what's going on in there. But so there's a lot of concern that the elections won't be allowed to take place. Do you give any credence to that the Democrats would create an emergency, maybe another, you know, another variant or something, and then say everybody's got to stay home, and then just flood the country with more mail-in ballots and steal it again, just like they did in 2020?
Well, they've done it before, but they tend to want to repackage things. So whatever crisis is manufactured or exploited, they'll try and put a more benevolent turn on it. Although I think people are becoming quite weary of the nanny state in general. So I don't put it past them to do everything from voter suppression to intimidation to filling and stuffing ballot boxes. I mean, that's what they do. How many coin tosses did Hillary win in Iowa? I forget what it was, but they don't play by rules. Their rules are an impediment to their power. Rules are something for other people. They're never going to follow their own rules. They put rules in power so that way good people who are naive will follow them, and they can enforce them selectively to position their people in power. That's how they are.
All right, we've got about a minute left here for the Brighttown TV broadcast. Tell us what cities you're visiting for your upcoming class schedule.
In 2022, I'm going to be in, Lord willing, Atlanta, Georgia, Columbus, Ohio, Jacksonville, Florida. I'm also going to Kalispell, Montana, Dallas, Texas, Denver, Colorado. And I think there's a couple more that I'm going to be adding. I know that I'm missing one. It's just, you know, percolating in the back of my mind. But the full schedule's at the website, thepatriotnurse.com.
Okay. All right. That's great. So stay with us here. We're going to do an extended version, a few more minutes on the other side of this. But thank you so far for what you've shared with us today. And folks, you're watching Brighteon.tv. The extended conversation continues on Brighteon.com. And feel free to repost this interview on your own channel or other platforms as well. Just give credit to ThePatriotNurse.com. Thank you for watching today. Take care. All right, we are now in the extended conversation. So just a few more minutes here. Want to ask you some practical things. What do you think people need to be focused on in terms of emergency medical preparedness for 2022? What do you see as the major threats that we need to prepare against?
Certainly. The major threats from a health standpoint, from an infectious disease standpoint, are basically the same as they always have been, which is respiratory diseases, digestive diseases, and the complications of wound care. And so as we're focusing towards our preparedness, these are things worth considering, particularly if an individual has family members who are of a weaker constitution, respiratory speaking, or of a weaker constitution, digestively speaking. If you know that your family has a predisposition towards disease, or you have people of a sickly constitution, really dial in and focus on what you know they already tend to deal with anyway. And also, if you're on, for instance, maintenance medications, like the blood pressure medications, and on things that really are directly correlated to lifestyle, if you can appropriately adjust your lifestyle to where you don't need those as much, that's going to suit you no matter what. You're going to spend less money on trips to the doctor and pharmaceuticals. You're going to be more healthy overall, and your body's going to be in better shape, for instance, with eating better, with getting proper rest, appropriate activity. All of these things are so critical because you're paying in to think about it. Think about your health like a retirement account. You're paying into and investing in your health when you make adjustments in your lifestyle and decrease your dependency overall upon the medical industrial complex. You're going to get paid dividends down the road, whatever it is, because you're going to feel better and you're going to need them less, need people less who may or may not be politically motivated in the days to come.
But where do you think, I'm sorry to interrupt, but where are people most missing their preparedness for all of this? You know, in people that you talk to, casual conversations, I'm sure they ask you questions. What is it that people are really lacking that they need to get?
Sleep. Yeah. It's true. Everybody kind of goes, oh yeah, I know. We tend to spend lots of money on things like big screen TVs or just stuff. But when we look overall at our resources that God has given us as a custodian to be, you know, of the resources we have, it's our duty to take care of ourselves. And if that means that you invest in a quality mattress, you invest in quality sheets that are going to keep you cool at night, and you get out of your room, whether it's electronics out of your room or screens out of your room, when you invest in your sleep, you're investing in your immune system. You're investing in your emotional well-being. And frankly, you're investing in the peace of your household, because people's morales and their kindness to each other tends to wane when they get cranky and when they haven't slept well. It's a major morale issue. People think it's kind of funny and maybe a little bit silly, but it's a huge issue. The average American is dealing now with a level of sleep deprivation and chronic anxiety that we have not seen before. I think that's many faceted in its reason. But if we can make these choices now to set us up for success, prioritizing your sleep and really, really trying to make that something that you center your schedule around, that needs to happen for people.
Well, you mentioned too stress. So let me ask you this, in terms of mind body medicine, we know that stress has an immunosuppressive action to it or effect. And yet we have a media and we have people like Fauci and others who I've said that they are psychological terrorists. Their job, it seems now, is to just terrorize the American people on a regular basis. And they have terrified a lot of people. There are people screaming to wear more masks and begging for more vaccine boosters, just anything to stop the fear in their mind. But they've been manipulated. And isn't that a form of real harm against people as well?
Emotional terrorism, 100%. There's no question about it. If you get people to be afraid to go outside and to be masked, to walk outdoors in the park, like to be afraid to do anything other than lie down and capitulate to whatever the latest public service announcement is, you've created a nation of ninnies. And if people are so afraid of their own shadow, they're certainly not going to be productive, as we've seen with recent evidence of the economic fallout of all of this. When you terrify people, you're going to have an overall shaking in not just the economy, but the foundation and the structure of that culture. So then, like on the flip side of it, are we going to be, and we have to ask this of ourselves and your followers and your viewers, your subscribers, are some of the best people when it comes to being self-aware and to not taking the party narrative and to being self-actualized. A person who has strength and conviction, and particularly a faith-based conviction, they are not cowed easily. They are not intimidated easily, and they don't make good serfs. And so in the days moving forward, I think that we're going to have to resurrect that strength. Perfect love casts out fear. And a person who has his confidence, particularly if he's a man of faith does not make a good slave, because he knows to whom he's accountable at the end of things. He also knows who holds the destiny in his life. And if it's not an emissary of government, then he's not going to just bow down and take whatever is given to him. He fears God, therefore he doesn't fear man.
That's right. That's exactly right. And it seems like right now this is the most important time in our lifetimes to stand firm with our beliefs and our philosophy and our God, and not just be cowed into submission by these anti-humanists. Do you subscribe to the theory that this is all part of a depopulation effort? Or do you think it's more just bad medicine that's just killing a lot of people? What's your take on it?
I would estimate, based on my intuition, that about 2% of the people involved, probably even less, are malevolent architects. And the rest of the 98%+, give or take, are useful lackeys. They are people who need their ego stroked. They are people who might be self-deluded. They might be people who believe the party narrative. It doesn't take that many people to perpetuate a massive lie. It takes complicitness. It takes people who lack awareness. And also, I heard this teaching once about the test of prosperity and the test of adversity. When a man is tested via adversity, particularly when he's tested with adversity where he has no friends, where he has no one else to cry out to, he is forced into a place of crying out to God. The test of adversity, many wise men say, is an easier test to emerge victorious from. But the test of prosperity is a far more difficult one. Many people in DC have been given because of nepotism, because they're toadies for a stronger man. They have been given prosperity, and in that prosperity, they became useful idiots to the party narrative and to the party platform. And so I think it is an addiction to power. It is an addiction to ease. All of the tentacles associated with the federal government in that area of Washington, D.C., it has a way of corrupting people's vision, which is one of the reasons why the founders were so insistent, particularly originally, that we didn't have legislative sessions forever and ever and ever, because they knew that when a man leaves his home and he goes among counsel of wicked men and of ill-designing men and of men who have their own best interests, they lose touch with their roots. And so whether depopulation has been architected by people or whether it is the marionette on the string of greater spiritual issues, the effect is still the same. We must still resist it in mind, body, soul, and spirit. And we, in particular, I believe, have to fight this spiritually with prayer and fasting, which has been something that I've been led to advocate for the past couple of years. Whether or not it's from design or it is just a logical conclusion of man's natural self-interestedness, I don't know, but I do know that the solution is the same no matter what: prayer, fasting, self-sufficiency, and independence with a firm reliance upon God's mercy.
Well, I really honor how you understand this is a spiritual war, ultimately. And it's yes, elements of it are fought in the physical plane here. It's fought in psychology. It's fought in news narratives and so on. But ultimately, it's a spiritual war. And you're right. It's the spiritual warrior who has faith and who has moral courage that can withstand all of this, while so many fail the test and give in to the vaccine death shots and the authority and all of that. What final thoughts would you want to leave with us today as we wrap up this interview? You've given us a lot already, but what have we not covered?
I would say honor your intuition and honor what you believe that the Creator is telling you. We have become, in this day and age, so addicted to constant sensory input from screens or from sound, noise. We live in a very noisy world. But when we have moments of quiet, when it's just us and our conscience and the Lord God, when we are quiet and in touch with ourselves, we know our truth if we search and ask. I think it's in James that let him who lacks wisdom ask of God, who gives to all men generously without reproach. That has been something I have referred back to so much over the past couple of years. And I want to encourage your viewers and your followers and your listeners and subscribers. If you lack wisdom and you're aware enough and humble enough to know that you lack wisdom in an area, ask the Lord and he will answer. That is a blanket promise, regardless of the nuances of someone's eschatological persuasion or their theology. Let him who lacks wisdom ask of God, who gives to all men generously without reproach. Whatever situation it is, whatever trials that you're going through, whatever decisions you have to make, ask, and you will get your answer.
Yeah, well said. And ask God, not ask Google. Because Google's nothing but lies and disinformation. Okay, well, Patriot Nurse, thank you so much for spending time with us today. I want to encourage people to visit your website, thepatriotnurse.com. You've got classes coming up in 2022, and where you're teaching what, for emergency medical skills, first aid skills, right?
So I teach 4 days of curriculum. In the first 2 days, we teach respiratory diseases, digestive diseases, wound care. Third day is nutrition, survival nutrition. The fourth day is herbs and old school disease. So we cover a lot in 4 days. And my goal has been to set people up towards self-sufficiency and to enable them, as the Lord wills it, enable them to decrease their dependence upon the medical industrial complex and upon a grid and a system that is increasingly being weaponized, politically weaponized against them.
Mm-hmm. That's right. And in 2022, I would just add, folks, grow more of your own food, because you're going to need it to survive. Grow some of your own medicine too, because food is medicine. So thank you so much, Patriot Nurse, for sharing your time and wisdom with us today. And thank you for all that you do and for your courage and for standing up for humanity and America at the same time. We really honor your work. So keep it up. You're doing great.
Thank you so much. I appreciate you, Mike. Thank you for all of your work.
Absolutely. Happy to be here. And thank you for watching today, folks. Feel free to repost this interview anywhere that you would like. Just give credit to thepatriotnurse.com. I'm Mike Adams, the founder of Brighteon.com. Thank you for watching today. God bless you all. Take care. Survival Nutrition is our new free audiobook that you can download right now from survivalnutrition.com. In this nearly 8-hour audiobook, you will learn life-saving secrets of how to use food, nutrients, plant molecules, trace minerals, and chemical compounds to save your life, even in a total collapse scenario. I'm Mike Adams, the Health Ranger, and I'm the author of Survival Nutrition. I founded and run a multi-million dollar food science laboratory, and I'm the author of the best-selling science book, Food Forensics. I'm also a prepper, a patriot, and a survivalist. I can teach you how to survive what's coming by growing your own food, medicine, and antibiotics that can help keep you healthy and alive, even during the worst of times. At survivalnutrition.com, you'll be able to instantly download the full free audiobook as MP3 files. Keep a copy of all these files on your local hard drive and print out the full guide, just in case we lose the power grid. Survivalnutrition.com.